For our study tonight, I want to look at some verses in John, the 10th chapter. John, chapter 10. In this chapter, Jesus talks about the shepherd and the sheep. The context of the lesson in John chapter 10 begins actually over in the 9th chapter. In regard to the cure that resulted, or that the Lord effected upon the man who was born blind. This miracle, as performed, led to this man having an abiding faith. If you look in chapter 9, verses 35 through 38, when Jesus asked the man in verse 35, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. This also is involved in the rejection of Jesus by these blind Pharisees. If you continue reading there in verse 39, Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind." And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said unto them, "If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, 'We see.' Therefore your sin remaineth." In this particular story, you need to look very closely and very carefully from verse 27, actually all the way through the rest of the chapter, to understand the setting for that which takes place in the 10th chapter. The audience on this occasion is the seeing blind. With us, that don't make sense. Talk about a blind man who sees. But in Matthew chapter 13, there verse 14 and 15, there the Lord talked about the prophecy that Isaiah made. He said, "In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, 'By hearing you shall hear, and shall understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed.'" They close their eyes. Why? "Lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." It's the Pharisees. They were seeing. They see, but they were blind. This is the ones that Jesus was talking about there in Matthew chapter 13. The prophecy that Isaiah made hundreds of years before. It also deals with the blind man who could see clearly. Not just because he was made to see by our Lord, but because he could see with his mind's eye. He could understand who Jesus was. You remember we read in verse 36 of chapter 9, when he answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." He wanted to know who Jesus was so he could believe. This is intellectual sight. He could understand who Jesus was. I want you to think about this idea of the shepherd and the sheep that is dealt with in John chapter 10 now. In verses 2 and verse 11 of John chapter 10, it talks about the shepherd. But he that entereth in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. Then in verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The shepherd giveth his life, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, he said. Jesus is the shepherd of the sheep. This shepherd comes through the land of Jesse. If you go back to Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 5, Isaiah prophesied, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And shall make him a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove the equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. An obvious prophecy concerning Jesus, the shepherd of God's flock, who came through the lineage of Jesse, the father of David. He is lumped among the pretenders, but is obviously distinguished from them. In verse 1 of John chapter 10, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. There's a pretender. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. There are some who try to get in who do not enter by the door. The shepherd enters by the door. Verse 5, a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the stranger. Now, the text does not reveal who the pretenders are. You might consider from Acts the 5th chapter, there were two men that are mentioned there, Thutis and Judas. Thutis boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves. They were slain. Then there arose Judas of Galilee, and it said, drew away much people after him. He also perished. And all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. These were imposters. These claimed to be someone special. Judas gave out that he was someone special. Gave out to be somebody. Judas drew a lot of people after him. Matthew chapter 24, there at verse 24, says there will be false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. False Christ, false apostles. So we don't really know who these pretenders are, but possibly men like Thutis and Judas that are mentioned in Acts the 5th chapter. There are some identifying marks of the Messiah that are pointed out in this particular text. Remember verse 2? He entered through the door. Now the door is not specifically spelled out as to who this would or what this would represent. But I would suggest to you that possibly he's talking about the way that was prepared by the prophets, as we read there in Isaiah the 11th chapter, and there are many, many other passages that deal with the coming Messiah. And so this door in verse 2 is possibly the way that was prepared by the prophets. Then there's the door that's opened by the porter. To him, the porter openeth. Verse 3. And the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. To him, the porter openeth. It's not specified as to who the porter is here in this particular context. But we possibly could refer this to John the Baptist. In Malachi chapter 3, there at verse 1, as we talked about this in our Bible study period on Wednesday evening, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to this temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." Malachi said there was one going to prepare the way, and John himself said that he was to prepare the way for the Lord. That was his purpose here on earth. This could be the conclusion of the question in Matthew chapter 21, verse 25. Notice in that question there, he said, "The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or men?" And they reasoned with themselves, saying, "If we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did ye not then believe him?" John was commissioned by heaven, and he opened the way for the Lord, possibly the purpose of his baptism that he administered was to prepare the way for the Lord, to prepare a following. If God's authority were accepted, then why would you reject the one of whom he testified? To him the porter openeth. If the porter then is John the Baptist, which probably is the case, John prepared the way for the Lord. He calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of stranger. Now, verse 6 refers to this as a parable. "This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them." They didn't really understand what Jesus is dealing with here. But as he continues in this context, you'll notice that he says in verse 7, "In no uncertain term, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." Jesus is the door. This is not part of the first parable, because this concludes there in verse 5, because verse 6 refers to that parable, this parable, the one he just spoken. Then he spoke to them again and said, "I am the door." We don't need to confuse this with the door of verse 2. When he said in verse 2, "But he that entereth in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep." Here in verse 7, Jesus said, "I am the door." Verse 2, he talks about those who enter by the door, he is a shepherd of the sheep. And so the shepherd entered by a door. And we noted that that's the door that was opened, possibly by the prophets. And then the porter opened it. possibly the work of John the Baptist. But here in verse 7, I am the door of the sheep, no uncertain terms. Through the door, one receives both salvation and sustenance, because Jesus is the shepherd of the sheep. He was and is the good shepherd who laid down his life. The false shepherd he talks about flees. He said in verse 10, well, let's just read several verses here. Go back to verse 8 and continue reading. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. There's your sustenance. There's your protection. Salvation. Saved from the elements. Taken care of. Given feed. Shelter. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scatters the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. Again he says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of man. He is the good shepherd who laid down his life. The false shepherd are unwilling to lay down their life for the sheep. There's the good shepherd. He cares for the sheep. Well, then who are the sheep? The sheep are those who would receive Jesus. We're not talking necessarily about just the nation of Israel. In fact, as we noted in our Bible class this morning, the vast majority of the Jews refused to accept Jesus. The ones that he talks about here are those who would hear his voice. Go back, look at verse 3, 4, and 5. I am to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. These sheep are the ones who would hear the shepherd, the good shepherd, and would follow him. You see, the emphasis is upon those who accept readily the voice. That's the teaching of the good shepherd. Remember, some stopped their ears. We read Matthew chapter 13, what Isaiah said. By hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. And their eyes have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Some of them refuse to see. They refuse to hear. They refuse to understand. You remember in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, the text says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day they were adding them about 3,000 souls. They that gladly received his word. Paul talked about the Thessalonians. They received the word as the word of God, not as the word of men. It takes individuals who are willing to receive, not just receive, but gladly receive the word. Let it sink down deep in our hearts. The words of the shepherd. Listen to his voice. That's the ones who are the sheep. If any will not hear the word, you can't force feed them. No point in trying to force them to accept the word. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and tear you. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Can a dog, and this is not obviously not talking about a physical dog, the Jews considered the Gentiles to be dogs. That's the way they viewed all Gentiles. As if a dog out in the street. But when Jesus used this terminology, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, the dogs cannot appreciate sacred things. As long as they are of this temperament, as long as they are of this mindset, they can't appreciate sacred things. A pig doesn't appreciate a nice string of pearls. They trample them under their feet. And they turn again and they try to do you harm. Because it doesn't mean anything to them. What this says to us is that there are individuals who have absolutely no concern for spiritual things. They don't want to listen to the shepherd. They don't want to pay attention to his voice. They are not the sheep that Jesus talked about. When he said, I am the good shepherd, the sheep hear my voice. And he leads them in and out and finds pasture. He cares for them, feeds them. The ones who will pay attention to him. Those who will not honor, those who will not accept nor understand the nature of the truth, you can't do them any good. It's sort of like the old saying, you're just beating your head against a brick wall. Now, obviously, we can't look into the hearts and minds of individuals and know who will accept and who will not. Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. So there are some things that we can know about individuals as a result of their actions, by the way that they live. But we can't look into a person's heart and know the one who will accept the word and who will not. But when they're offered the word, when they're offered the voice of the shepherd, and they reject it, we don't have anything else to offer them. That's what the Hebrew writer points out. We rejected the only thing that can save our souls. We rejected the only one who can care for us, who can provide for us from a spiritual standpoint. Sometimes a simple demonstration of the truth can be more effective than words can ever be. Peter talks about this in regard to women who have unbelieving husbands. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, he said, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation. Oh, that means the manner of life of the wives. While they behold your chaste or your pure manner of life coupled with fear or reverence and respect. When they see the kind of life that you live, they can sometimes be won by the lives of individuals, and especially in this case by the wife. I saw this played out in real life many years ago. I was preaching in Pekin, Illinois. I went out and had a study with a young lady and her niece way out in the country. When I went in, her husband went in the other room and turned the TV up so he couldn't hear what we were saying. He wouldn't come to services with her. He wouldn't even let, and we'd go out 15 miles out of town and pick her up and bring her to services. He worked shift work, but if she was sick, he wouldn't even call us and let us know that she wouldn't be able to come. We'd have to drive all the way out there and then drive all the way back. And when she was sick, maybe one of the kids was sick. She continued to be faithful in her service to the Lord. Eventually, they had four little boys, just little stair steps. She came in bringing those little boys. After we moved from there, we got a phone call. Charlie Young had obeyed the gospel. What changed that man's mind was not verbal, oral teaching. It was the lives of his wife, the life of his wife, and the lives of members. One of the elders helped him sack up. They bought an old house out in the country, another little town, community. And it was, the floor was literally falling down. And this man crawled under the floor and helped him jack the house up and level it and fix it. Did a lot of work and wouldn't take a dime's pay. Just being what he should be. And this kind of action, along with many others, taught this man the truth. He was very prejudiced. He thought any religion, didn't matter what kind it was, any of them, he thought all they're after was just your money. That's all they wanted, just your money. But the kind deeds, the life of his wife changed that man's mind. He became a faithful Christian. So sometimes our actions, a demonstration of truth, can be more effective than anything we can say. That's the reason why it's so important that we recognize the kind of influence that we have over other people. That's why Jesus was saying in Matthew chapter 5, you're the salt of the earth. But the salt are lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It stands for good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. You're the light of the world. You don't light a candle and put it under a bushel, he said, but on a candlestick and give a light to all that are in the house. Ye are. That's us. We're the light of the world. Those who belong to Christ, his sheep, are those who are open to the truth. John 8 and verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We become sheep following the good shepherd by responding to the truth. John 17 and verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. It is the word of the shepherd, remember? Back up in the verse 2 and 3. He that entereth in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. His sheep hear his voice. Those are the ones who belong to the good shepherd. Those are open to the truth. Now notice also in this context, in verse 16, there are two folds that become one. He said, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Notice also that these are made up of those who are anxious to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, the Son of God. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold. These other sheep, these Pharisees recognized, even though they were still Jews, they recognized they were not part of the Lord's fold because they wouldn't hear his voice. But Jesus said, I've got some more that are going to hear my voice. This second fold, I believe to be the Gentiles, who heard and recognized the voice of the Good Shepherd. You remember in Acts, the 10th chapter, Peter went down and preached to the household of Cornelius. In that chapter, he preached the same thing that Peter, that he preached there on the day of Pentecost in Acts, the 2nd chapter. Cornelius had seen a vision, was instructed to send men to Joppa for Peter. Peter came. Verse 17 said, now while Peter doubted himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. While Peter's thinking about this, he's told, three men looking for you. Arise therefore, get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. And Peter went down with them to Cornelius. He said, behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause wherefore you are come? And they told him about Cornelius. Next day he went down there with them. Cornelius was waiting for them. Called together his kinsmen and his near friends. He tried to worship Peter. Peter told him, stand up, I'm a man. Now, as you continue reading in the account, Cornelius rehearses what had happened to him. There, he talked to Peter about what all had happened to him and why he sent for it. Then in verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of person. Peter didn't understand this before. He's a Jew. Remember, he saw a vision with all kinds of beasts. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. Not so, Lord, I've never eaten anything common or unclean. Done 3 times. Now, he understands. God is no respecter of person. But in every nation, he that feareth him, the works of righteousness is accepted with him. Every nation. Remember the commission that Jesus gave to his disciples. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. These are the other sheep that Jesus talked about here in John chapter 10. As he continues in verse 36 of Acts chapter 10, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Notice that phrase, the word. The sheep of the good shepherd hear the voice of the good shepherd. The word which God sent, notice verse 37, that word I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. We're his witnesses. God raised him up. This is the good shepherd. that Peter is preaching here to Cornelius, a Gentile. Verse 42, he said, he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin. Peter is preaching the word to Cornelius. Then he said, can any man forbid water that they should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then pray they him to tarry certain days. The conversion of the Gentiles follows in precise the same way as the conversion of the Jews on the day of Pentecost in Acts the 2nd chapter. The sheep who would receive his word. Notice Acts 2. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. The Gentiles who received his word were baptized. They are a part of the one fold. Those receptive Jews and the receptive Gentiles then made up this new united fold under the one shepherd that Jesus talks about here in verse 16. Acts 2, verse 41, remember, we talked about they that gladly received his word were baptized. As Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning there in verse 11, we'll not take time to read the entire passage here. He said, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometime were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. But now, the Gentiles are now part of that one fold, following the one shepherd. They were receptive to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The shepherd and the sheep. There are many today who consider themselves Christians. If you walk down the street to Red Bay and you meet somebody on the street and you ask them, are you a Christian? I dare say you wouldn't find anybody who would say, no, I'm not a Christian. Now, you might find some, I don't know. But I doubt seriously you'll find anybody that will say, no, I'm not a Christian. Most people consider themselves to be Christians. But the fact of the matter is, they are not part of the one fold because they refuse to listen, to pay attention to the voice of the shepherd. They won't listen. They won't do what he says. To be a part of the one fold, remember what said in Acts chapter 10, verse 35 and 36. After Peter said, God is no respecter of person. He said in verse 35, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. In order to be accepted by the one shepherd, you have to fear him and his reverence and respect him. When you reverence and respect someone, you do what they say. He continues in verse 36, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Lord of all who? Those who fear him and work righteousness. An individual must humbly submit themselves to the shepherd before they can be his sheep. You can't be a part of the fold just by claiming that you are. You have to be admitted to the fold by the one shepherd. And the question that each of us must come to grips with is, am I a part of the one fold under the one shepherd? The qualifying statement there is the one that we read early on in chapter 10. The sheep hear his voice. He knows them. They know him, because they have responded to his voice, responded to his word. They that gladly received his word were baptized. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Then verse 47 says, praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. Those who were being saved became a part of this one fold, following the good shepherd. Those who are his sheep hear his voice. Unless we're hearing his voice, paying attention to him, doing his will, we don't belong to him. That's the reason that so many people in our society today who claim to belong to the Lord really don't. It's sad that so many people think they're part of this one fold, but they're not, because they're not following the good shepherd. They're not hearing his voice. Are you hearing his voice this afternoon? If you're hearing his voice, you're doing what he says. He said, except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sin, John 8:24. Unless you repent, you're going to perish, Luke 13:3. If you don't confess me before men, I won't confess you before my Father, Matthew 10:32-33. Unless you're baptized for the remission of sins, you don't have forgiveness of sins. You're still in your sins. Haven't been added to the one fold. He hasn't become your shepherd. And you're not one of the sheep. You're not part of the fold, because you've not been born in his family by the spiritual birth that Jesus talked about in John chapter 3, verse 3 and verse 5. If you have done that, we need to ask ourselves the question, am I still following the shepherd? I have to continue to follow him. Revelation 2 and verse 10 says, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee crown of life. We have to faithfully follow the shepherd all the days of our life. If you're not faithfully following him, you're not going to receive the promised reward. If you haven't been faithful, you can receive forgiveness of your sin, whatever it may be, if you wouldn't repent of it and ask for his forgiveness. He'll accept you back into the fold. You'll be a part of the sheep that are following the good shepherd. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing for you.